Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Blind and Veteran Association's Vet Tech Podcast Series. I am Tim, the Chief of Staff for the BVA, and this episode features a recording with Brian Moon from our weekly Wednesday webinar from March 15th. Perigean is a unique contractor for the Department of Veterans Affairs in that they recruit individuals like you and I to participate in research studies to learn how it is that we interact with VA websites and apps. These studies are paid, so your participation in these not only helps the VA improve their websites and apps, but you also will receive a stipend for your time in these studies. So let's go ahead and learn more about Perigean and the Veteran Usability Studies, which you can also find more information out by visiting www.veteranusability.us.
My name is Brian Moon. I am the I'm the Chief Technology Officer and founder of Perigean Technologies. We founded Perigean Technologies in 2007 to pursue the development of services and technologies that really hone in on people's performance. And in particular, a lot of our work actually revolves around experts in lots of different domains, with the goal of trying to create tools to enable people to be more successful in their performance. Sometimes we also create training out of that. But in particular, with our tool work, we also, as you might anticipate, because a lot of our tools are information technology tools, software and software interfaces, we've always also, in addition to trying to understand what it is that people need to be successful, we've had a history of running usability studies for the kinds of technologies that we develop. We are both designers and software personnel, but mostly on the design side. And so after I founded Perigean Technologies around 2007, by about 2010 or 11, we were actually involved with the Veterans Health Administration Human Factors Engineering Office. They're in Nashville, Tennessee. We initially got involved with them to pursue the kinds of work that we usually do in terms of understanding how people in real-world situations try to perform, particularly the decisions they kind of make, and then to develop technologies to support that. So our initial involvement actually with the Human Factors Engineering Office was to pursue the development of clinical decision support tools. So these are tools that clinicians use, doctors, nurses, and others in patient care. And we did that work in a couple of different projects for a few years. And around 2014, we discovered that there had been an ongoing project to support the development, the recruitment of people to participate in these kinds of studies. So whereas on the one hand, we were doing the technical work, we also became aware that a support contract to recruit people to participate in these kinds of studies was up for rebid. Hearing about that and having history of already working with the office, we decided to go after that work and we won. We're a very small company. We're actually in Fredericksburg, Virginia. At the time there were, I could count all my employees on one hand. These days I need two hands. But at the time, we were actually pretty proud of the victory because, not only were we going to be able to expend, our services for that office, but the incumbent was JD Power. And so we were pretty impressed with ourselves, that we were able to win a contract, against that kind of competitor. So back in, 2015, we started this road, this journey, if you will, that we've been on ever since, to develop a process supporting enabling technologies to quickly be able to find people to participate in these studies, enable them to participate, meaning scheduling them, getting the technology pieces that they need in place to participate, and then compensating them, which I'll talk about more in a bit. So we sort of set up the process to support that and had an initial contract that ran about 3 years with the Human Factors Engineering Office. Toward the end of that project, other folks in the VA started hearing about not only our work and our contract, but we're also starting to expand their own usability program. So around 2017 and 18, the Digital Services at VA Group, they were growing this design practice, again, to enable people who use VA tools to use them more efficiently, more effectively, and to start to turn the design toward a more user-centered approach. So this idea of user-centered is that you will develop your technologies focused on users of those technologies and what they actually need to do with them, what they need to be successful in using them, and then also what they need the tools to do for them in order to be successful in their performance. That's kind of the whole idea behind this user-centered design approach. So we got approached by the folks at the Digital Services for VA to start to bring our approach for recruiting and scheduling and compensating veterans into their work. We got another contract. We actually renewed the one with Human Factors Engineering Office, and then got another one through the DSVA at the time. And that was for a 3-year contract. So we just kind of continued on rolling. Over time, we were building up our own database of participants, you know, people who had already been in projects and studies with us, but were continuing to be invited to participate. So we built that up and kind of continued to grow that. That project with DSVA lasted for 3 years. And in 2021, we got a new contract, basically with the same group of people. This time, though, it fell under the Office of the CTO at the VA. So whereas the DSVA folks could have rapid turnaround in terms of the findings that they created in the studies, they could turn those around to the technology developers at VA to quickly implement the kinds of changes that were suggested by the studies they were conducting. Now we were sitting right inside the office of the CTO. So literally the folks who are doing the design are also doing the development, and that's who we work hand in hand with to continue our recruiting program. So that's kind of the long-winded backstory of how we got here. But over the course of what's been now 7-8 years, we've got a pretty efficient process. We have seen certainly under sort of the tail end of our DSVA contract, and even more so under our CTO office contract, we have seen a marked turn toward issues of accessibility as being more frequent topics for each of these studies. And that's been something that we've also tried to gear our own recruiting process to accommodate. So, so that's the background. How this actually works is that the VA and the folks at the Office of the CTO, they run the studies in terms of determining, you know, what aspects of the what technologies they're going to look at, what aspects of those technologies they're going to focus on. Sometimes there's a sort of a global focus, like I said, with accessibility. There's a global focus on kind of all parts of the apps that fall under VA.gov. Sometimes these studies are very, very specific. So, you know, a login process, for instance, might be the focus of a study. And a study usually comprises somewhere between 9 and 20 or so people. Most of our studies over really the history of our program have been virtual. There have been some in-person studies, but most of them have been virtual, meaning that people will come into a Zoom session like we're in now, and a facilitator from the VA or a VA contractor, but again, working on behalf of the VA, they are going to facilitate a usability or accessibility study, meaning they're going to have the participants basically kind of walk through a series of tasks, and they're going to observe the participants try to get through those tasks. They are going to then ask questions, sometimes even interrupt the tasks and try to get additional information about what the person's thinking about, how they're, you know, thinking through what steps they need to go through, how they're thinking about the way that, you know, the information or parts of the app are presented to the person, and then what they think they're supposed to do given that presentation. So this all focuses on the apps basically under va.gov. And so that's basically all the benefits apps. The human factors and ergonomics office that we work with, continuing to work with, they're in Nashville, Tennessee. They also focus on apps under the guise of the Office of Connected Care. They also focus on some clinical decision support technologies that are going to be both veteran, you know, caregiver dependent facing, as well as clinician facing in the VA. So each of these offices, they're all essentially pursuing the same goal, which is to make all these technology tools valuable and user-friendly for whoever their audience is. And so over time, again, ours is very much a support role. We sort of take the studies that they come up with and help them to get the participants for those studies. Tim had asked before sort of who comes up with the topics. I just want to be clear to everybody that we do not come up with the topics, but our requirement is to be responsive to those topics. So sometimes the studies are very specific with regard to the kinds of users that the VA has in mind to test these and to develop designs for these particular kinds of populations. And obviously, you know, folks who use assisted devices, that's a very specific population. And what we're finding, especially again over the past several years, is that some of the studies that VA puts forward are specifically focused on assistive device users. So they want to make sure that a particular app, or maybe an aspect of an app, or the way that the overall app is designed, works for people who use a variety of assistive devices. Mostly we're talking about screen readers, but there's other kinds of assistive devices as well. We are actually starting to see a bit more attention toward audio support devices as well. And so our role then is to find people who fit the kinds of criteria and profile that the VA has in mind for a given study, so that we can populate these particular studies with, again, the kinds of people that the VA is looking for. We continue to grow our database. Our database is about 2,000 veterans, caregivers, dependents, mostly veterans, who are in the database, and then we invite to participate in studies depending on what the criteria are for a particular study. And as I noted, some of the studies are specifically focused on assisted device users, but even studies that don't have that group as their primary focus for a study also have that group as a part of the population that they want to include in the study. So they may request, for instance, 9 participants in the study and request that at least 2 of them are assisted device users. Another study might request 9 in the study and all of them need to be assisted device users. The other characteristics that they will typically recruit around include age. Sometimes these are geographically focused as well, because they want to work with a particular VA medical center or other facility. The branch of service, sometimes we recruit for that, but generally we just kind of want a mix of the branch of service. Gender, usually also just want a mix of genders as well, again, depending on the topic for the study. So we sort of think of this as they are generally looking for your, quote, average veteran. And then they may also have more specific criteria that they want in a particular study. Again, it all just depends on what the topic is. The process for the VA to hone in on a particular topic, I don't have as much exposure to that as the researchers do. But I think what Tim suggested earlier is indicative of kind of how this goes. So they become aware through one or more channels that there's a particular aspect of one or more technologies that is not optimized or is not working as well as it could work. And so that becomes then the focus of a given study. Sometimes there are also the introduction of brand new technologies. And so a whole range of studies that might support introducing a new technology. So it's everything from something's not working right. And we know this through a variety of channels. Sometimes it comes through organizations like BVA who are advocating for particular groups. Sometimes it just comes through users who can give feedback through other channels within the apps to say, I'm not able to do this, that, or the other. They also get feedback from folks who advocate for veterans and who may even provide sort of direct hands-on support for veterans trying to use apps. And so they'll get ideas for what kinds of projects they want to do from all sorts of places. They then put together a study plan, which includes the participants, what kind of study they need to do in order to support the kinds of findings they're after. So there are all sorts of ways to do usability studies with all sorts of techniques that have all sorts of goals and objectives that they're trying to fill. And so this can be everything from, as I said before, doing a task with the app, or maybe even doing just a task. So an example of that can be like a card sorting method where you have a bunch of concepts and you want people to sort of put these concepts together into groups. Sometimes they can be also unmoderated studies. We are also recruiting for unmoderated studies, which you can think of them basically as surveys, but the idea is that the participant is going to go in and do something and it's not going to be a moderated session with a study facilitator. So the study topics, as well as the study methods and the techniques that they may use, all that's determined by the VA. My company's role is to support them along the way. So once we get a study, we look at our database to see if we have the right kinds of people to fulfill that study. If we don't, then we go pretty quickly and aggressively to a variety of places to try to recruit people to participate in that particular study. But generally speaking, we are trying to recruit people into our database so that they can be eligible to participate in more than one study. And so when we are out in the public, as we do from time to time, we go to conferences. We went to the BVA National Conference last year, for instance. We are trying to recruit people into the database so that they can be available for studies as they come up and as they are appropriate match for a particular study. I mentioned before some of our numbers. So we've got about 2,000 people currently in our database, and those would be people that have signed up within the past roughly 15 months with us. We, from time to time, will kind of do a refresh on our database because we want people who are still engaged with us. We want to make sure we've got, you know, the right address, all the right information for them up to date, but also just to make sure they want to continue to be involved in our study. So from time to time, we sort of refresh our database. We had, for instance, at the end of our first set of contracts, we had about 2,400 people. We sent out a reinvitation and about 700 of them re-signed up. So over the past 15 months or so, we've gone from that 700 re-sign up to about 2,000. So we are constantly recruiting through lots of different channels. As I mentioned, in-person recruiting. We also do quite a bit online through social media and other avenues to try to get people engaged in our program. As a bit of a side note, sometimes, as I'm sure everyone on this call can appreciate, it can be very challenging to get people's attention in this community and keep it in the sense of letting them know that here's a legitimate program they can participate in, that it's, you know, funded by the VA. We are contractors for the VA, but, you know, are working on behalf of the VA. With us, it's even more challenging because sometimes our message is, come participate in these studies. And we realize that veterans get invited to participate in lots of studies. But we're also suggesting these are paid studies. And so we want to make that an incentive for people to participate. But We also are very sensitive to the issue of veterans hearing all sorts of messages that are put in front of them. And when you tell them that here's a way to make money from the VA, there's a natural sort of skepticism, I think, which comes with that kind of message. So that's a huge reason why we want to partner with the organizations that are well known to the community, like BVA, to help us get the word out about the program and give us a partner in legitimacy, if you will, so that we can come in and connect with people under, you know, the umbrella of a trusted name. So we've got about 2,000 people in our database. We actually also keep track of the folks who use assistive devices. And of our 2,000, I'm looking at our numbers here, about 300 of those are assistive device users. And that's a number that we obviously want to keep growing. I've mentioned a couple of times, so our database comprises veterans. So these are folks who have veteran status. We are also very interested in caregivers for veterans. There's quite a few studies that want to also reach out to the caregivers, because often they're the ones who are, you know, putting fingers on keyboards and digital devices and that sort of thing. So we want those folks also to be part of our study pool. There are also dependents in our studies, because some of the studies, because we're focusing on all the benefits, some of the studies are about dependent benefits as well. We have a subset of the database who are actually service members currently serving, or what we prefer to try to reach are transitioning service members. So people who might be, you know, 4 to 6 months out from transitioning out of the service, because those are going to be, of course, the future veterans and future app users that we can start to engage. So that kind of comprises our database of 2,000. Geographically, we are recruiting nationally. We've got a couple people in the database who are also in some U.S. territories, but generally speaking, we're recruiting nationally. So basically anybody who has that kind of status can register with our database. And last year, in terms of just trying to do a quick study number, so we had... We think about both our database size, because that's the candidates for our studies, but we also then track the numbers of people who participate in the studies and how many studies that we do. These are all the reporting measures that we provide back to VA. And so at the end of this last year's contract, which for us is actually in December, we had a total last year of participants. So these are the number of people who actually participated in our studies. We had about 825 participate in our moderated studies. We had about 450 participate in our unmoderated studies. And of those totals, we had 182 assistive device users participate. So again, out of about 1,300, almost 200 of those were assistive device users. And again, some of those people participated in studies that were exclusive about assistive devices. Some of them were involved in studies that included assistive device users and others. I will say that from the VA perspective, we are definitely encouraged, strongly encouraged to find more assistive device users, because more studies involving that particular population we know are coming. And so it's always incumbent upon us to try to find and connect with those communities. So just to get back to the process itself then, so VA comes up with studies, they put requests to us, we go either find folks who are currently in our database or connect with them through other channels to get them involved in our database. And we then are sort of the go-between, if you will, between the study facilitators and the participants. So all the information that people provide when they register with us. We keep all that. We just provide the basic details back to the VA, basic demographic details of the people they're going to be working with. We then are responsible for scheduling if it's a moderated study. So scheduling the time that they're going to be spending in the study. Usually these studies, the moderated ones, go about an hour and no more. Again, occasionally we also have in-person studies, but those are usually few and far between and pretty specific in terms of what they're looking for. So we are responsible for recruiting, for scheduling and booking everyone, to include folks who, if for whatever reason they're not able to participate at the session that they've scheduled, for rescheduling them and ensuring that the VA gets the number of people that they want in their study into their study. And then to work with the participants if they need any help in terms of downloading and using any apps, for instance, that the study might call for. So most of the studies are going to be facilitated in Zoom. A lot of the studies are can be run on a computer. Some of the studies also require additional apps to be downloaded on digital devices, and the study itself is run on a digital device. So it is incumbent on my company to ensure that anyone who has signed up to participate in a study has all of the proper technologies and has been introduced to those technologies in a way that enables them to participate in the study. Now, what they actually do on those technologies once they get in the studies, that's on the VA facilitators, but it's our job to set people up for success in the studies. And then once they participate in the studies, it's also our job to compensate them for the studies. So on the compensation side, all participants are compensated for their participation. And the levels of compensation vary depending on what kind of study is being run. So that ranges from $10 for an unmoderated study, which again is typically just a survey that takes maybe 10, 15 minutes to complete, to a moderated study, which is generally going to be about an hour long. Those are compensated at $50. And then for some of our moderated studies that might go a little bit longer, we have a graduated compensation up all the way up to $75. And then if it's an in-person study, we also provide additional compensation for to cover travel and other expenses just to get to the study. So the range is basically 10 to 75 plus 25 for travel for our in-person studies. Generally, our studies are about an hour online and $50. That's the preponderance of our studies comprise that category. We pay that out in a check, and so that's why it's important to have all the information up to date from everybody. Checks go out as soon as someone participates. Takes about a week or two to get the check, and then you have participated. So the last thing to say is that people are eligible to participate in multiple studies, but there is a window of participation. So if you participate, you are not included in our study searches for about 3 or 4 months, and then we start including you to participate. The invitations to participate go out via email. And what happens is we get a study, they tell us the parameters, we locate people to invite, and then we invite them. It is always up to people who have registered with us to opt into the studies. These are always yourself selecting into the study, and you'll only get an invitation to a study that we know you're eligible for. Having said that, sometimes we put out invitations broadly, but ask more specific questions. So, you know, we try to outline all of the parameters that we're looking for. We're already filtering by some of those parameters, but sometimes we do have to go through a round of, you know, question asking and answering, which is all handled online in order to determine if indeed people are eligible for a particular study. But generally, if you get an invitation, we know you're at least, we know generally that you're eligible to participate. So that's a more specific overview of our whole program. All of this is explained, and the link to register for our program is available at veteranusability.us on the web. And so that's veteran usability, usability.us. And then from that site, links to a Google form. So that's where everybody goes. That's where we're always pointing people if they ask about the program or if we're at conferences, that's where we're pointing people. It's kind of our central place.
We at the BVA would like to thank Brian Moon and everyone here for listening to this episode. So before I let you go, let me just paint a broader picture about the Veteran Usability Study and how it interacts with us here at the Blind and Veterans Association. The BVA meets with teams within the VA that handles the development of their website and apps on a regular basis. During these meetings, we will often bring forward reports that our members bring to us related to issues that they are having with interacting with the VA websites and apps with their respective assistive technology and other technology solutions. After these meetings, what we'll often see is a couple of weeks later, the team at Perigean will receive a request from the VA inquiring about more information related to the reports that they just received from us here at the BVA. From there, these studies are then initiated, and a group of individuals from both Perigean as well as the VA will meet with groups of veterans that are enrolled in the Veteran Usability Study to dive into more detail about the experiences we are each having with our selected devices. And from here, this is how the VA makes changes to things like their websites and their applications so that we are able to use them. So if you want to be involved with one of these studies, as Brian said, please go to veteranusability.us and register. You can also send us an email here at the BVA at info@bva.org so we can share that information with Brian and his team at Perigean. Well, I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of the Blind Veteran Association VetTech Podcast Series. If you enjoy this episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a rating, for this really helps this network grow. For more information about the Blind Veteran Association, be sure to visit us online at bva.org, where you can sign up to receive our weekly newsletters and announcements for upcoming VetTech town halls and other informative sessions. With that stated, I'd like to thank you all for joining us and hope you have a wonderful day.